Cherry read out that verse, and she said, "It's been a bit of a faff this morning, if I'm honest. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm supposed to be on holiday. But my daughter's ill, and so we've postponed our holiday till next week, so I won't be here next week. Ben was supposed to be here this week, but he heard that I wasn't supposed to be here this week, but then thought that I might be here this week, so he's got migraine. So he's not here this week, so he should be doing this, and this is a message I was going to preach when I got back. So anyway, but then when I was thinking, shall I do this? We were kind of faffing around. Shall we do this? Shall we don't know? What are we doing? And then Cherry said, well, this is the verse I was going to read. And she read this verse. And this verse says, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you, says the Lord. Yeah? You know that, do you? Oh, okay. Right. Okay. All right, then. Well, this is going to be great because we're starting from that. I'll say that again. Do you know that? You know, that God has chosen you. Yeah? I mean, we know that. Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Well, I'm just going to tell you, this time last week, I was on a plane coming back from Norway, and you'd probably think, oh yes, this pastor's been travelling doing missionary work in Norway. Well, no, I was playing with a band, a bunch of musicians. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I'm a musician, and this year in particular for me, I mean, I went into retirement about 11 years ago when I'm in effectively, you know, and the pension scheme is great when you're a musician. In fact, I'm the only person that I know as a musician who went in... I'm the only minister that I know that went into ministry and took a pay rise. Because... anyway. So I used to be a musician, and I used to play with this band called the Brass Hoppers. You can snigger now. Do you get it? Brass Hoppers, yeah. Good. And we used to do a lot of work together. We'd be often sort of on tour for a month or two in France, and... had a great time with them, and then I had to leave them. It was getting too busy. I got married, and it was just getting too much, and then I joined the church, and it was just, you know, I had to leave that life behind. And anyway, the band has kind of wound down, and they do one gig a year in Norway. And they phoned me up and said, could you do it? And I thought, well, it's summer holidays. Ben's going to be here. I can take a little bit of time off. I can do this tour. So I did this tour, and we had great fun. We just spent most of the time the first 2 days just laughing at one another because we hadn't seen each other for ages, and we're just telling the stories of what we used to get up to, and some of them I can't repeat on a Sunday morning. No, I didn't get involved, I just witnessed, okay? I mean, but we just had a great time laughing, and it was great fun. And now, it was a jazz festival that I played at in Norway in a place called Hugesund. Anyone been to Hugesund? No. No real reason to. Unless you like herring or are in the oil business. So there you go. But at this festival, they have international artists come and play, you know, people that have played for the Queen and all kinds of things. Thank you. This year, they have a band playing called Snarky Puppy. They were on the bill. Anyone heard of Snarky Puppy? Yeah, Emma has, because she spent it's all 4 than 5 minutes with me. Snarky Puppy, let me tell you, are one of the most creative and exciting jazz groups of this generation. I mean, I don't follow bands on the whole, but I have followed this band for several years now. I mean, they've only been around a short time, but they've done an incredible amount of stuff. I've been to 3 gigs in the last 2 years. One prom concert to take the kids last year, which is of limited success. And the other 2 times I've been out, you know, because you don't get a chance to go out very much when you've got kids, are to Snarky Puppy. They were in London last year, and then the previous year I thought, right, book tickets 6 months in advance, I'm going to see them. Amazing. And so anyway, so I said to Louise, Snarky Puppy are on the festival. This is amazing, you know. Then I looked at the program, I was like, oh, they're on the Saturday night just before we're playing, so I probably won't have time to go and see them because... And anyway, my festival pass usually gets me into the naff things, you know. Things like I'm playing in. It doesn't get me into the big stage kind of thing. So I thought, okay, it'll be nice to be able to say I was in the same town as Snarky Puppy on a stage at the other end of town. I left it at that. So we did this gig on Friday afternoon and you know, when you're on tour, you think really glamorous, you might think. Well, we ended up playing in a warehouse. It was like B&Q's factory party. There was all these sort of tables, a bit like we have Feast, all these tables laid out in a warehouse. And so we were playing with a backdrop of sort of industrial length cables and all kinds of things hanging around us. And thinking, this is the height of my career. You know, this is as good as it gets. And then we got the sort of festival transport, and the guy who had been driving us around all week, and he said, "Oh, I picked up Snarky Puppy from the airport." It's like, "Oh, really? You got to meet them." So, and I'm like, you know, Snarky Puppy were in this car, you know, feel the seats, you know. And, yeah. If you want to pray for me for idolatry, then please do afterwards. But so, you know, I thought, okay, fair enough. They're in town, that's nice. You know, they got here a day early. That's unusual for them, because they go from place to place. If you look on their tour schedule, they're just like one night here, one night there. They're all around the place. They were in America 2 days before they were in Europe. So, okay. So anyway, our main gigs in the evening were 11:30 to 1:30 in the morning. So we got to our gig in the evening, 11:30, played the first set, went well, had good fun, and then got to the second set, and the drummer leans across and went, "Snarky Puppy are in the back. They're here." Huh? And you then, there's this moment, because I'm getting a bit insecure about my music playing, you know, with this moment. They're excellent musicians, and so I was a bit nervous about doing this tour, because I haven't played that music for 15 years or something. So I'm like, oh no, okay, right, get it right. I didn't want to impress anybody, but I just didn't want to make a fool of myself, okay? So I was just kind of right. So we played a couple of tunes, and it was like, okay, I'd kind of forgotten they were there. I couldn't even see, it was all dark, you know, and hall was the place is about double the length of this. I couldn't really see. So anyway, so that we played this tune, which I wrote, and we got to this tune. I wrote it basically is a show-off piece for the tuber. And I thought, well, I've got to get this right. So I closed my eyes, and I'm just really concentrating. So we played it through the first verse. And then you can hear the crowd, they're getting into it, and I'm playing away like this. And then I open my eyes, and Mr. Snarky Puppy, like the band leader, is standing where Katrina is, with his mouth open and pointing at me going like this. And then his mate, the percussionist who's next to him, he's got his phone out and he's videoing me. Like this. And I'm like, okay, right, get it right. And in this piece, it's quite tricky, and then there's four times I've realized, because they counted, I have this really fast scale, it goes, and I land on this low note, and everyone goes, yay! And then I've got to the end of the piece, and they're going, he's done it four times, man. So, and then this guy shouts, this is Michael League, the leader of Snarky Puppy, right? My jazz hero, you know, the only person really, if you say, who would you like to meet today? It'd be Mr. Snarky Puppy, Michael League. I know, it's a silly name, isn't it? But anyway. And he calls out to me in the gig, he calls out to me and says, I'm your fan. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm your fan. He went, no. This is, and I won't give you all the language he gave me, but he was just like, this is incredible. How are you doing that? You know, he said, I've got to go home and practice. And so we got talking, he stayed and listened to the whole set. We got talking afterwards, and, you know, this happening, and then he said, you've got to come play with us tomorrow night. No. He said, what do you need? And I said, well, a bass amp. And he had the tour manager with him. Get him a bass amp. He needs a bass amp on stage tomorrow night. And I'm kind of going, you know, this is like, this just doesn't happen. So anyway, and then everyone else got talking. Of course, they all had to muscle in, didn't they, the rest of the band. And then they got invited to play as well. And so then they all disappeared, you know, as big stars do, and we're all kind of like us. We're kind of like, it's not that they asked us to play on stage tomorrow. Yeah, okay. So I went straight away on the phone to Louise. You never guess what, because I knew she'd be excited. Well, she knew I would be. I knew she knew I would be excited. I don't know whether she was excited. And went to bed, and I'm thinking, great, playing Snark. What are we going to play? You know, what are we going to play? I don't know what time I've got to be there. I don't know what. I didn't know, have any way of contacting this guy. It's just like he just sort of came and then just disappeared. And I'm thinking, he said, yeah, you play this tune. It's on the last track on our album. Do you know it? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Yeah, you say. What do you say? No, I don't. Yeah, I know it. So, so that happened. And then the next day, there is a point to this, by the way. So the next day, all the other guys are saying, no, they didn't really say that, did they? I said, no. He said to the tour manager, get him an amp. I mean, you don't put a bass amp, you know what a bass amp's like, it's about this big, you know. You don't just put a bass amp on stage just for no reason. So they were still doubting, my companions, who were all excellent musicians. And I said, okay, well, look, their gig starts at 9 o'clock. I'm going to get down there at about 8 o'clock. I'm going to turn up with my tuba, and look, it's like I'm going to almost kind of say, well, look, I brought my tuba. You're going to have to let me in, kind of thing. And I'll text you if you know, it's all on. So I got there, I got to the gig, and they were all off eating, but the tour manager was there. She said, oh, we've been talking about you all night. Yeah, yeah, we've got it all set up, and you're going to stand here, and this is it, and they've been really, just really excited to have you come and play. It's like, okay, so I'm on the phone, come down. So we got to go backstage with them, we watched the gig, and then we got to come on and play the encore with them. But before that, I said to, so I listened to the track, I said, it's quite complicated, you know, I said, this is quite difficult. Do you want me to play that bass thing? And it goes, ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo-ba-doo- And this is his gig, the encore is where he says, you can play what you want, as long as it's in D, play what you want. I'm thinking, this guy's met me once, you know, this is great faith, you know, this is the end of their show, he says, you can play what you want, and I'm like, okay, right, so that makes me even more nervous, you know, because if I can just play what he plays, then I learn that, and play it, but he says, play what you want. So we went on, I played what I wanted, I end up doing it, everyone stopped, and the drums are still going, so he pointed at me, I had to do a solo. Then I found out afterwards on Facebook they'd been live streaming it, and there was 20,000 views on it within like 10 minutes. It's like, so I didn't see the camera at the time. Then I had to go and do our gig, and then they all turned up at our gig, and then everyone started playing on our stage, and it was just like, I don't believe this. This is just like in a toy shop. Kids in a toy shop. And so anyway, so why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because actually, believe it or not, God was speaking to me through this. And it comes back to the verse that Cherry read, which was, yeah, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. Now, I don't know about you, but it was just a whole picture. But, you know, we know that verse, don't we? We know that verse. But then there's probably that sort of thing in our mind where we're thinking, well, God's in town, but I'm not really going to go and get to see him really that close. We're on the kind of same kind of, you know, we've sat in the same car at some point. But I don't think I'm really actually going to get that close to God. Do you feel that? You know, like God's kind of he's close, but he's a long way away. I mean, God is God. Yeah? And I'm me. Now, in the jazz world, Michael League is God. And I'm just a humble little tuba player who does. That was the other funny thing. Let me just tell you also. He said, well, man, what else do you do? You know, he's expecting me to kind of reel off a whole long CV of the musical people that I play with. I said, well, I pastor a church, you know. And he went, no way. I said, yeah, well. And he said, because there's other guys in his band who are Americans, they're big guys in gospel music. And he said, our keyboard player, Sean Martin, he's in the biggest black church in America. He's got 20,000 people in his church. How big is your church? I went, about 30. He went, no way. And he was like, he was so into it. He said, no, this is what it should be like. You know, anyway, so. I invited him to church, by the way. So if he turns up on a Sunday morning playing bass, that's another story. Where was I? we kind of think we're not good enough, really, or we haven't quite got the right path to get in on the main stage with God, yeah? I mean, you see, there's big churches, and there's churches of 20,000 in America, apparently, and we've just been to a conference, you know, where there's 2,000 people, and there's people on this main stage, and, you know, and you think, well, yeah, but I don't know whether I can get access to that. You know, I know I'm okay. I mean, I'm in the back row and that's okay. And, you know, nobody really knows about me and that's fine. God's just doing his thing over there. And I'm close, but I'm not close. But God just sort of said to me, well, yeah, you haven't chosen me. I've chosen you. I've come to you and I'm on, you're there and I'm right next to you and I'm here. I'm kind of going, I'm your fan. I'm your fan. Let's put it in biblical language, shall we? I love you. Yeah? We can send that as a little message and sort of post it off to the Never Leverland, or we can come to somebody and say, I love you. And that's different, isn't it? When somebody comes up with their mouth open, and this was completely genuine. He was just genuinely wanting to be here with me on that stage, and he wanted me then. And then he said, well, come and play on my stage. And what does God say? I've come to you. Come and join this thing I'm doing. Come and join what I'm doing around the world, in your town, around the world, wherever it is, I'm doing a big thing. That's what God says. And it's only when something like that happens when you realize, actually, this is what God is talking about. This is what God is talking about. And you know, the other thing is that, you know, we tend to think, right, about you, you know, now I'm a Christian, what do? I need to follow the rules. I need to follow the rules. What do I play? Tell me what to play, God. Tell me what tune to play. Tell me how to play this music. Tell me how to do it. And he basically, God says, be yourself. You're with me. I actually chose you as you are. I mean, you've got to be in D. So there are some parameters, okay? This is not completely free, you know. But actually, within the grace of the gospel, because we've been talking about the gospel, haven't we, for the last few weeks. But within this, I mean, and we as people love to make little rules, don't we? Oh, now you're Christian, you have to wear these kind of clothes, you have to fit in here, you have to sit in these rows, you have to do things like this, you have to do it like that, you have to, you know, it's all this. Yeah, now, I'm not saying that there isn't a way to follow God and to follow God's word. But at the end of the day, God says, be yourself. Be yourself within my kingdom. I got talking to the drummer as well, who had turned out to be a Christian, and he was really blessed to speak to me because he was kind of the only Christian in the band at that on this tour, and he found out I was a pastor. He was like, no way! Yes. And his granddad was a pastor, and his uncle was a pastor, so he's grown up in ministry. But he was talking about music, and he said, because he's kind of like, he's not a regular in the band, and I said, how do you do that? Because it's complicated music they play. I mean, our music is very simple compared to theirs. It's very complicated. And he was just playing as if like he knew it. And he said, you just know the music and then you can do what you want. And those two things tied together. Because, you know, when we know his word, you think, well, I was saying to Lizzie, came around the other day, I said, you know, it doesn't say in the Bible whether we should go on Facebook or not. You know, it doesn't say in the Bible whether we should turn left at the traffic lights or not, does it? You know, shall I have chicken for lunch? Doesn't say it in the Bible. There's lots of things it doesn't say in the Bible. But if we know the book, then we know how to improvise when things happen. You know, and so the holiday gets cancelled because your daughter's ill. And then you turn up to church and think, oh, okay, it'd be nice, I can just play tuba and be with my family. And then Keith says, oh, Ben's just texted, well, Katrina's texted to say Ben's not coming. Okay. But we know, it's all right. It's not the end of the world, is it? Hope not, anyway. You know, we know how to cope with that, but there are things in life, when Mike ends up in hospital, you know, how do you cope with that? Well, you know the book, and then you know how to live within it. Well, something amazing happens. Well, how do I respond to that? I know the book. I know how to play this tune. I know how to. It's not telling me exactly what to do. It doesn't tell me to say put your left foot here and your right foot there. But it's, I know how to play this tune within the structure that is given me. Does that make sense? Play what you want, as long as it's in D. Do what you want, as long as it's within the bounds of the Bible. You know, put it that way. And then the final thing. Just, I want to tell you something else about this. My experience on stage. This guy, Michael. Check out Snarky Puppy. If you YouTube. I'm talking about YouTube. Half of you don't even know what YouTube is, but go online and find out Snarky Puppy, and you watch the band leader. He's just the most enthusiastic person facially you ever meet. And so I got on stage with him, and I played this very simple thing because I thought, I'm not going to get this wrong. I'm just going to play it simple, and then it just started cooking along. And then I just put in two extra notes, so I was going boom, boom, boom. Everyone's boom, 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 boom. Keep it simple. Don't get it wrong. Dun, dun, dun. And then eventually I went, da-da, boom, boom. And when I went, da-da, he went, like this, as if I just invented, it's like an A flat and an A, all right? I can tell you now, two semiquavers, A flat and an A. I'll play it for you if you want. I mean, Soren could do it, you know? It's just like, but he just went, and then he pointed to the violinist who was on stage and went, it was, but I'm thinking, all right, I'll keep doing that. You obviously like it, so. This is what God does. You know, you just take one little thing in this grace that God is, you know, and he says, you know, sometimes we think, oh, I hope God's pleased with me. Oh, I don't think he's pleased with me. Oh, no, no, no. You just play two notes in D. Actually, A flat isn't really in D, is it? Oh, sorry. Or you know, a Julie. A flat doesn't fit in D, but I played it and then I played an A. But God is pleased when we bring just little things. And then he encourages us. And then when you see that little thing, it just kind of like, then everyone else starts building on that thing. And then we have what's called church. Yeah? Now, this is supposed to be about prayer this morning. Here's my point. I don't know about you, but I think when we come to pray sometimes, we think God is, at best, he's kind of like about four houses down the road, inside, with his headphones on. I don't, does that, you know, if you get that thing, you're sort of praying and you think, well, I just hope God hears this one. You know, or you're in a room like this and you think, well, I know that wall can hear it, I know that wall can hear it, and that ceiling can hear it, and the floor's listening, but I don't know whether God's getting this. Does anyone else feel like that? Is anyone listening? Is there anyone? I mean, you've laughed at some of the jokes, that's very kind of you. But this is the important bit, okay? So, okay, two people are understanding. If you're not, then maybe you've got a better connection. But I just want to encourage you, when you come to pray, in fact, when you come to pray, God is there going, I'm hearing it. I'm here with you. You didn't choose me. You didn't choose to pray, actually. I've chose to listen. I chose to listen, and I'm hearing it. And I'm hearing every word. And I'm hearing, and I know the pain of the situations in the hospitals. I know the pain when children are sick. And I know the pain when people have got migraines. And I know the pain when things don't go right and when people have been suffering for a long time. I'll tell you why I know that, because I've been there. I've been on stage with that situation. I've been there, right in the middle of it. I'm with you in it. I really am here with you. And so as we pray, and we're going to spend a bit of time praying this morning, let us know that God says, I'm choosing you and I'm with you, so I'm hearing this. And it may not be the answers necessarily we want, but he's welcoming us to come and join him in what he's doing in all of these things. That's what God's saying. So know that the gospel is this, that he has chosen us. And as a result, we can pray, and it's not just shouting at the walls or shouting at a long distance call or writing an email and you may never get a response, but he's with us. He's here. He's here with us now. And so I hadn't really planned what to do next. You're not supposed to be here. But I think it would be good to pray, right? Yeah, okay. And I must remember to take the offering this week. I didn't do it last time. Sorry, I got carried away. So I think, can we have the worship guys up, if that's okay? And who would like somebody to pray for them this morning? This is where you need to. Yeah, there's. Thank you. All right, at least. Okay, can I? Julie would like someone to pray for her. Do you know what? Julie is there's somebody sitting next to Julie, and there's two people sitting next to you, but also God is right there. God is right with you, Julie. So whatever it is that needs to be prayed for, can somebody offer to pray now for Julie? That'd be great. Alison, she's a prayer. I know this. She's volunteers to pray. So yeah, God is with you as well. He's right here, and he's saying, she's praying. Yeah, I'm your fan. Go and do it. Right, so you can do it. Is there anybody else that needs to be... That stuff's going on and you'd just like somebody to pray for you and know that God is with you. Yes. Okay, yes, of course. Yes. Carol. So can somebody go and pray with Carol, please? Because Mike is in hospital. I know what it's like when that... I know what it's like. So God is with you. God is with you. Is that it? Is only two people need to be prayed for this morning? We're all good. That's fine. Okay. Margaret? Somebody want to come and pray for Margaret? Jerry? Brilliant. Thank you. God is with you. Go for it.